Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Nun Zayin. Today's daf is being dedicated in memory of Eliyahu Ben Shafia by Gary and Sophia Cohen. Today's daf is also being studied Derfu'a Shelema Natan Ben Shafia. May Hashem grant Natan ben Shafia with a complete and speedy recovery. May the zechut of those that are learning this page of Gemara serve to heal Natan ben Shafia and lift the neshama of Eliyahu ben Shafia. Amen. The daf today is also being studied. The Ailu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenihem began Eden. Amen. The Mishnah. We start a new perek, the sixth perek of Masechet Shabbat. The name of the perek is Bamei Isha. It's a similar theme of the last perek that we learned. The last perek we learned what is considered carrying for an animal. Which means just like a person is not allowed to carry on Shabbat, its animals are not allowed to carry as well. So the last perek told us the different laws of what is considered a burden for the animal, what is not considered. Now, the Masechet moves to human beings and says that there's certain things by human beings that are considered a burden that they were not allowed to be wearing on Shabbat, and certain things not. The only question is, why would they start with Bamei Behema and then go to Bamei Isha? You know, normally you put human beings first before the animals. See, everybody's smiling, everybody has their own ideas, but the books bring down, the Sfat Emet says that the organizers of Shas decided to put Bamei Behema first because there's not so many laws regarding the Behema. So therefore, so to speak, got that out of the way, and now it's going to focus on Bamei Isha, which is a lot of laws, very wordy, so therefore it chose that second. I should point out, Abu Tai, one of the basic rules of the first Mishnah is going to be as follows. Although from the law it should be permissible for ladies to wear jewelry on Shabbat, because jewelry is considered a takshid, it's an adornment, and therefore it should be permissible if they're wearing it. However, we're going to learn that the rabbis made a very important gezerah that said they cannot wear it in the public domain, because the way in the olden days at least was, they used to take off their jewelry to show it to their friends. For example, let's say a lady has a ring, and she wants to show the ring to her friend, she might take it off the public domain, forget, continue to walk, and now you have an issue of carrying a four amot nirshut tanamim, or she might go into the private domain, from the public domain into the private domain, nirshut tanamim to nirshut yachid, which is also a suit. So therefore the rabbis forbade really ladies to wear jewelry in the public domain. As a matter of fact, they even forbade it in the private domain, in the hatser, lest they come out into the public domain. So it's really a strict gezerah. So that's going to be a lot of the gezerah that we're going to discuss today. But there's another gezerah that I just want to introduce from the inception, and that's going to be that any type of accessory, jewelry, etc., that if, let's say, the lady would have to take them off if she needed to immerse herself in the mikveh. Let's say a lady had to go to the mikveh. So certain things, let's say, that are in her hair and stuff, let's say she'd have to take those off. So the rabbis forbade items like that as well to wear in the public domain, even if they're not jewelry. Why? Because they were concerned that maybe it'll be Shabbat, and maybe she's going to have to go to the mikveh, and she's going to take it off to go into the mikveh, and she's going to forget. She's not going to put them back on, and she's going to forget it's Shabbat, and she's going to go out and walk with them in the public domain. So basically, we have two gezerot working here today. We have the gezerot of jewelry, that they might take it off to show it, and you have the gezerot of any accessory item that would be considered a hatzitza, an interference in the mikveh. The rabbis did not allow a lady to wear in the public domain on Shabbat, lest she go into the mikveh on Shabbat, which incidentally is permissible, and what's going to be the concern? She'll take it off so it doesn't serve as an interference, and then what's going to happen? She might not put it back on and just walk out with it in the public domain. Now let's begin the Mishnah. That's the introduction. With what can the lady go out into the public domain on Shabbat? And with what can she not? Lo tetzei isha lo bechotei tzemer, velo bechotei pishtan, velo bitzurot shebaroshah.
she should not go out, not with kutei semed. Literally it means, let's say, strings of semed wool. Velo b'chotei pishtan, that would be strings of pishtan linen. Velo b'tzorot shebenasa, no, with straps in her hair. Now, Rashi learns that these straps and these items were actually in the braids of her hair. Rashi says, shekola'av bahem tsa'ara. Okay, it seems that when the lady would make a braid, they would braid them with these strings in between them, so therefore she cannot go out with them on Shabbat. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnah says, ve'lo titbol bahem, nor can she immerse with these items in her hair, she cannot go to the mikveh, ad sheterafim, until she loosens them. Meaning, according to the Mishnah, she really doesn't have to take them off, she just has to loosen them so water will be able to get through. Ve'lo betotefet, she's not allowed to go out on Shabbat with totefet, we will see what that means in the Gemara. Ve'lo besarbitin, also, we'll wait. Bottom line, these are types of jewelry, ornaments, and the concern is that if we let her wear it in the public domain, she might take it off to show it to a friend, and she might come to carry. Bizman she'enam tefurim. Now, the only time it's forbidden these items is when they are not sewn on. These were sewn on to a type of hat that the lady would wear, like a hair covering. So when they're not sewn on, the concern is she might just take them off the hair covering and show them to a friend. However, if they were sewn on, there is no concern that she's going to take off her hair covering, because a lady would not take off her hair covering to reveal a hair in the public domain. So therefore, if they were sewn onto the hair piece, so then already it would be permissible for her to wear it. Ve'lo bekabul lirshut rabim. Nor can a lady go out with a kabul, we'll see what the kabul is, the Gemara will explain that, in the public domain, which is very interesting. Why does it say specifically by the kabul in the Rishut Terabim? Seemingly all the items that we mentioned are in the Rishut Terabim. So that she explains that all the other items, the jewelry that we mentioned, it's not only forbidden in the public domain, but it's forbidden even in the Chatzer, Gezerah, that they might come out in the public domain. But the rabbis were concerned, if you're not going to allow the lady to wear any type of adornment, so she's not going to look good to her husband. So they allowed her to wear the Kabul in the Chatzer. One piece of an adornment, a jewelry, they let her wear in the chatzir, but not in the Rishut HaMeir. What was that? That was the kabud. Ve'lo bi'ir shel zahav. Ir shel zahav was a type of brooch that they used to wear, the ladies, that looked like, had these the insignia of the city, let's say, of Jerusalem on it, a very fancy piece that the rich ladies would wear. Ve'lo bekatala. The Gemara will explain what a katala is. Ve'lo b'nezamim. The zamin would be like a different type of nose rings. Ve'lo betabat she'en aleha chotam. Nor is she allowed to wear a ring that does not have a signet on it. What is a signet? She's in the olden days, they used to wear signet rings, either that they used to stamp their documents, or they would seal a document. So they know if they didn't want it to be open, they would seal the letter closed with this type of special ring. So the Mishnah says she's not allowed to go out with a ring that does not have a signet on it. Meaning, because if a ring has a signet on it, then it's not considered a piece of jewelry, then it's forbidden from the Torah to go out with it, because that's considered carrying. But if it doesn't have the chotam on it, that's considered a piece of jewelry. So really, from the Torah law, there shouldn't be a problem. So why is it forbidden? Because she might take off the ring and show it to somebody else. So again, if it has a chotam on it, it's asur b'doraita. If it doesn't have a chotam, it's asur b'drabanan gezerah, that she might take it off. Ve'lo b'mahat she'en ha'nekuba. Nor is she allowed to go out with a needle, a pin, let's say, that does not have a hole in it. Why? Because those used to be jewelry. It's like a pin she used to wear. If it had a hole in it, that's not jewelry. Then it would be forbidden from the Torah to go out with it, because that's considered regular carrying. The Hadush is over here. If it doesn't have a hole in the needle, meaning it's an ornament, still it's going to be asur, because she might take it out to show it, and therefore she might come to Wavim Yatzat, Ena Hayevet Hatat. But if she went out in all these cases, she is not Hayevet Hatat. It is only Isur Derabbanan. And now the Gemara will explain. Ramza Gemara says, Tevila Mandechar Shemeh. Where in the middle of this Mishnah that's talking about Masechet Shabbat, from where do we introduce now the laws of Tevila? Because we were discussing the ladies wearing these different things in her braid. So we said she can't wear them in the public domain on Shabbat.
And then the Mishnah veered off and said, oh, and if she wants to go to the mikveh, she has to loosen them. From where are you bringing me the laws of mikveh in the middle of Masechet Shabbat? So the Gemara says, man yechal shema. Other Rishonim learned the question a little differently. They say, no, that's not the question. I mean, it's the way of the Talmud to bring a lot of information into one Mishnah to teach you many laws. And the question of the Gemara is that it just wants to introduce the concept of the mikveh, so it's asking it in a question form, which is the Gemara likes to introduce information in a question-answer form. So therefore, the Mishnah doesn't have necessarily a problem, the Gemara doesn't have a problem why it discussed the law of mikveh. It just wants to understand, is there a connection to the law of mikveh to this case of Shabbat? So therefore it introduced it, what's mikveh doing over here? But and that's going to answer it now. Comes Gemara and says, Amar Abnach Amar Yitzchak, Amar Rabba Bar Abu, Mata'am Kamar. The Mishnah is really giving a reason. Mata'am lo titzi isha lo bechotet semer lo chob bechotet pishtan. Why can't the lady go out on Shabbat with these strings in her braid? Because the rabbi said even during the week she should not dip in the mikveh with these items until she loosens them. So what's the concern? And since during the week we don't want her to dip with these items in her hair until she loosens them, we don't want her to go out on Shabbat with these items. Maybe let's say it's going to be the time for her to go to the mikveh. For example, let's say she's nida. And therefore, it's Friday night. It's going to come the time for us to go to the mikveh. What's going to happen? Veshar yalehu. She's going to take them out of her hair, which means technically she could loosen them. But some of the ladies, they want to be ma'amir on themselves. Not only are they going to loosen it, they'll actually take it off. Ve'atal etuyinu dal ramot b'shut rabim. And then what? They might come to carry it for amot b'shut rabim. So we see an interesting case over here. Anything that the lady has to take off before she goes into the mikveh, she cannot wear on Shabbat in the public domain. So comes to Tosfot says, if that's the case, she shouldn't be able to wear shoes either. Because doesn't she have to take off her shoes before she goes to the mikveh? She shouldn't be able to wear a coat. Doesn't she have to take a coat off before she goes to the mikveh? Based on this principle, the rule is, anything that serves as a hatzitzah in the mikveh, she can't wear on Shabbat. Why? Because when she takes it off, she might forget to put it back on and she might carry it out. In what I just said lies the answer of Tosafot. She might forget to put it back on. Now, a coat and shoes, you don't forget to put back on. Those are necessary items. Tosfot says it's only discussing accessory items, where you might not put them back on. That's what we're discussing over here. These are things that they put in their hair as well. Now, we have a great machloket between Rashi and Tosafot, where these hair items were. As I explained to you, Rashi clearly said they're in the braid. Tosfot says, no, they can't be in the braid. Because the way Tosfot understands, it's forbidden to make a braid on Shabbat. That's under the Isur of Boneh building. And for that matter, Tosfot said it's Asur to take apart a braid on Shabbat. That would be considered soter, so demolishing. Therefore, Tosfot says if these items were in the braid already, there's no gezerah, because since she knows she can't take out the braid, so therefore she's not going to undo it. She's not going to take it out. So therefore it should be permissible for her to wear it on Shabbat in the public domain. What's the gezerah over here? She's not going to undo the braid because it's asur. So he says these are talking about types of hair accessories that are on the hair, but they're not actually braided in. So again, we have a machlokah that Rashi v'Tosfot. Rashi must hold that taking apart a braid is permissible. And therefore, he says it can even be in the kiryah, where Tosafot said, no, Suleiman, it's on there, but not actually woven into the braid of there. Right. Comes the Gemara further and says, Ba'amine Rav Kahana Mirav. Rav Kahana is the question to Rav. Tichi halilta mai. What is tichi halilta? That she says, Sharsherot shel chutin halulot ve'agulot. Basically over here, we're talking about, let's say, like a chained rope, a chained item, which means, it's not really a chain, it's made out of fabric, but it's in interlinking parts over there where there's holes. Like if you know, like the linked, imagine in your mind, I'm thinking links, where you attach them together, where there's holes. So therefore they want to know if, let's say, the lady took this fabric, but made an interlinking chain out of it, that's what it is, a chain, and she wrapped it around in her hair. Now, seemingly the water can get through because there's holes. So he says, Tichi halilta. These chains that are halal, which means they have holes, which means they're interlinking, what would be the deen? Mai. So Rashi says, Mahu, I'm reading the Rashi, Likloa bahin sa'ara. Can she braid her hair with them? Vilatzit b'shabbat. And go out with these items on Shabbat. She'ina yichola limutham v'lo duchkan ala se'ar. Rashi explains, since these items were in like a link form, it would be very difficult for her to tie them tightly onto her hair, thereby allowing water to go through. Be'huska ve'amayim nichtasimba. And the water really can go through her hair. U'mibayede mi'a bi'hatzitza. So really the Gemara's question is it considered a hatzitzah for the mikveh or not? If it would be considered a hatzitzah, then she would not be allowed to wear them on Shabbat. If it would not be considered a hatzitzah, it would be okay, because she wouldn't really not have to take them off. So again, the Gemara says, Amar le arig kamart. You're talking about something that is arig. Literally, arig means woven. But this Gemara is using borrowed terminology. This has nothing to do with woven. Meaning it means you're talking about something that is linked. Meaning you're talking about something like a chain that has links to it. Kol shu arig lo gazru. Anything that's a linked chain like that, lo gazru. Why? Because the water can go through. And therefore it's not going to serve as an interference in the mikveh. Therefore you have no problem. So give us itman name. We have a Amoraic statement to support what we just said. Amar avuna b'nei Yoshua. Kol shu arig, anything that is literally it means woven, but again in the usage that we're using it now is anything that is linked. Lo gazru, the rabbis did not make the gezerah. Why? Because it's not a hatzitza. Why is it not a hatzitza? Because as Rashi said, you can't tie these things very tightly in your hair. Therefore the water will penetrate, therefore you have no problem. The ikar da'ami. The Gemara now gives a different version of explaining the gezerah. Amar Avuna b'Rabbi Yoshua, Hazina le'ahvati. He says, I saw my sisters, de'la kabdan alayu. They were not makpid on these things, which means they wore these, let's say, tichi halalta, these items over here, and they weren't makpid to take them off. What do you mean they weren't makpid? They weren't careful. They weren't concerned to take them off. What are we talking? Rashi. Lachvatid lo kabdan alayu. Litlan meroshan. They didn't take these items off their hair. Kishen lo hatsot b'hamim. When they were in bathing. Not in the mikveh. When they were bathing, they would go into the bathhouse to, let's say, bathe or shower with these items in their hair. Alma. Aili bihuma yashapir. Now, obviously, when a person is bathing, he wants the water to go on all parts of his body. If they didn't take it off, must be that the water does penetrate that area of the hair, from the fact that his sisters didn't take it off. For that matter, then, for tibila as well, they would not have to untie it because the water can go through. Because if, let's say, she would have tibila, this lady that's wearing these things, she would not have to take it off because the water goes through. Lo mishum hatzitza, not because of hatzitza, velo mishum kepeda. Now she throws in something else here. And not because of kepeda, which means it seems the ladies on their own personal level were not careful to take these items off. They didn't mind going into the shower or to the bath with these things in their head. So it seems according to this opinion, as we'll see right now in the Gemara, there's two things we have to be concerned about. Number one, the hatzitza issue. To wear it on Shabbat in the public domain, it cannot be a hatzitza in the mikveh. Meaning, from the law of hatzitza, she would not take it off. Because, not necessary to take it off, because the water will penetrate. But now we're seeing another inyan also. Because the way that he said it was, I saw my sister, they weren't makpid. It sounds like it's also a personal issue over here, that they weren't concerned, let's say, from their own standpoint, to take it off. So it comes again and says, "My ika bin hachlishna u bin hachlishna." What's the difference between the first version and the second version? Meaning the first version just said, anything that's linked, mutar. This version of it says, I saw my sisters weren't makpid to take it off. Is there a halachic difference between the opinions? Gemara says, most certainly. Ika binayu v'tenifan. Let's say these tichi halilta, these linked ropes that they wore in their head, let's say they were dirty. Now, they had some, let's say, residual dirt on them, let's say. Now what's going to happen? When she goes into the mikveh, it's going to get wet. Hot water is going to cause that grimy stuff to come off. And now what's going to happen? She's going to get dirty from it. When she's going to come out of the mikveh, that, that grime is going to go on her. So according to the first reason, I don't care. Kol shu arig, anything that's linked, mutar. It didn't make a difference between whether it's dirty, not dirty. Bottom line, could the water penetrate? Yeah, finished. The second version said, I saw my sisters, they weren't makpid. Implying what? But in a case where they would be makpid, for example, in a case where they're dirty, of course the lady's going to go into the mikveh with this dirty stuff, it's gonna like melt off the dirt, it's going to get her dirty. So according to the second version, it would be asu. So nafka mina between the two reasons is a case where we have this tishi halalta with dirt on them, and let's read that inside. According to the first verse that said anything that's linked, the rabbi said to make a gezerah, because bottom line, the water goes through it. So these two aruk, what do I care? I don't care if they're dirty. Bottom line, could the water penetrate them? Yes. So therefore, mutah to wear it on Shabbat, because she will not take it off before she goes into the mikveh, because it's not necessary. But according to the version that says, the issue is she makpedet or not? Is she concerned to take it off from a personal standpoint? Since these things are dirty, makpad kapta alayu, she's makpedet. Not because of hatzitza. From the standpoint of hatzitza, it's not going to be hatzitza because the water can go through them. But the concern is that the dirt's going to start to slide off it and get her dirty. And therefore, it will be a problem. So therefore, according to the second version, if they were dirty, she would not be allowed to wear them on Shabbat because she would take them off before she would go into the mikveh because of the personal kepeda. Okay? Let's read that in the Shira Botai for a second. Let's read Lashi Hanami Arigu. Beha kama lo gazru klal latzet ulhay lishna. According to the second opinion, the lo kapde that says the sisters weren't makpid mash, but the e kapde elinatan. If she is makpid to take it off, mirosha kshem lo hatzot asu latzet b'shabbat. But forget the nun aduke lo haitze. Even though they're not going to be a hatzitza, because really we said you cannot tie these things tightly, umutarot et bol ba'em, really, they can dip hilkach, hanekevad demetanfeh, since these are dirty, makpid kapdan, shelo yot benosham sh'at tebilatam mipneh, shamayim memachin et tatit. The water softens up the tar, let's say, that's on these tichi, umelechlech besaram ba'aliyatam min tebilah. And it's going to dirty her body on the way up. Va'fagav dehatzitza lo avi. It's not considered a hatzitza that be highly beumaya. However, miu kevan the shekle mishum tinuf. She might take it off because of the dirt. Atela tuinu vasuda set bayem. So that's the way we explained it. That's just we saw it in Nashi. Comes again when Aaron continues. Tenana tam we learned in the Mishnah. Ve'elu chotzitzin be'adam. The following items serve as a hatzitza, as an interference in the mikveh. Again, these are items that you wear in your hair. Tanakama's opinion. Hote semer. Let's say you tie strings made out of wool. They tie it into the hair. So that's considered a chatzitza. It seems you could tie it tightly in your hair. Therefore, the water will not penetrate. Vehote pishtan. But for that matter, linen strings as well. Vehatsu'ot. But tzu'ot would be like even straps that you're wrapping in your hair. Shebirashe habanot. That are in the heads of the girls. Now, why did it have to say in the heads of the girls? So that she says, banot is referring to ketanot, the little girls. So that she says, urhad mil tanakat. The Gemara just chose the normal scenario. It seems the little girls used to wear these items in the air. That's why it chose banot. But it could be even ladies. It doesn't have to only be banot. But the Mishnah discussed the normal case. Now, that's Tanakama's opinion. So according to Tanakama, everything is an interference. Chote pishtan, chote semer, retzu'on. Rabbi Yehuda omer, shel semer, veshel se'ar, in chotzetzin. He says, first of all, I argue with you on semer. Semer is not an interference. And furthermore, hair is not an interference. Let's say they made one of these strings out of hair. They took human hair and they made like a string out, and they wrapped hair with hair. Rabbi Yehuda says hair with hair is also not considered a hatzitza. Why? Because bottom of the water can penetrate. And therefore, Rabotai, just follow it through. According to Rabbi Yehuda, would it be permissible to wear these things on Shabbat? Again, go with the rule. Since it's not a problem in the mikveh, so there's no concern that they will take it off, and therefore no problem to wear it on Shabbat. Ravuna, Amar Ravuna, Bechulan, all these cases that we're discussing, Berasheh Habanot Sheninu. All these cases we're discussing is on the heads, meaning you're tying the salmon on the head, on the hair. You're tying the pishtan on the hair. Now, Ravuna went out of his way to make that statement, implying that if you tied these items somewhere else, it would not be a hatzitza. Meaning, when did the rabbi say, chuteh salmon and chuteh pishtan are considered a hatzitza in the mikveh? That's only when they tie it in their hair. But if they tie it somewhere else, it's okay. So the Gemara wants to know where else you're tying. So the Gemara matkif la Rav Yosef lemi'uteh mai. What was Rav Huna coming to exclude over here? What he said only in their hair. Yeah, because maybe they used to, let's say, put these ties around their neck. Like they used to wear them, let's say, like a scarf or something like that. So the Gemara says, Udemai. And what are we talking? Which item were they wrapping around their neck? If, let's say, they used to take this wool item and tie it around their neck, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hashtar rach al gabe kasheh chotzetz. Rach al gabe rach mebaya. Which means, the Gemara makes a very logical assumption here. When you tie something on flesh, you're able to tie it tight, because the string cuts through the soft flesh. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me, Tanakama, that you weren't allowed to tie tzemer into hair, which means the way the Gemara calls that is rach al gabe kasheh. The hair is considered, let's say, hard compared to tzemer. Now, when you tie something soft on hard, it's really hard to make it so tight. It's easy to make something tighter if you're doing it on flesh, for example. So if you're telling me it's a hatzitza on the hair where it cannot be that tight, all the more so if you tie it around your neck where you can make it tight, all the more so it should be a hatzitza. So what are you telling me? These items only apply to the hair on the head. What? And the neck could be okay? Of course you can it be a hatzitza. If it's considered a hatzitza on the hair, which the Gemara again calls it soft on hard, all the more so soft on soft. Because, like I said, it can cut through when you tighten it up. So the Gemara says, ah, so it's coming to maybe exclude, not the wool, but it's coming to exclude pishtan, the linen. So it says, hashtag kasheh al gabe kasheh chotzetz. When it comes to linen, wrapping it in the hair, the Gemara says it's considered hard on hard. As opposed to, let's say, semer. Semer will be the softest item. So in regard to pishtan, it's so hard on hard. Still, what does the Gemara say? According to Tanakama, it's a hatzitza. Kasheh al gabe rach mebaya. Now to take the linen string and wrap it around your neck, which is soft, all the more so it'll be a hatzitza. So the Gemara is in a dilemma here. Rav Huna, you were teaching us something. Because you came out of your way to tell us it only applies to the hair. Implying what? To the other part of the body, for example, the neck, no problem. What's not a problem? You're telling me pishtan's not a problem? Sim is not a problem? Kol shekin, it should be a problem. Because you could tie it tightly, and therefore what? It'll serve as an interference, because the water is not going to be able to go through. So it comes again when it says exactly what Habib said in his comment. El amar of Yosef, haynu ta'amad Rav Huna. This is the reason of Rav Huna, lefi she'en isha honeket et asma. Because a lady doesn't want to choke herself. Which means, in the hair, don't put it tight. What, the lady's going to what? She's going to put a string around her neck and she's going to strangle herself? Of course not. So therefore, when you put it around your neck, obviously they would put it loosely. And therefore, it's not a problem. True. Hey, if she would want to choke herself, it would be considered a hatzitza. But who's going to choke themselves? En isha honeket et asma. So comes the Gemara and says, Oh, if that's the case, we have a question. Etibe. We have a question from a Braita. Abaye said, Etibe Abaye. Habanot yotzot bechotin shebeosnehem. Girls are allowed to go out with strings in their ears. Meaning, when they used to pierce the little girl's ears, they wanted to keep the hole from closing. So what would they do? They would put a string in the ear in order to keep the hole from closing up. Now she says, "Shenotnim sham shelo yisatem anekev," in order that the hole does not close up. So they can go out with that on Shabbat. Aval lo bahabakin shebesafarehin. But not with habakin that are around their neck. What is habakin? So that she tells us, these were like, we'll call them drawstrings, exactly. Which means they used to, let's say, want to tie their collar, let's say, or their garment. So they'd have like a drawstring that would come out, they would tighten it around, and they would close it. Now, why shouldn't it be permissible to go out with these items? Again, if you're telling me, Isha in a honeket et atzma, the lady doesn't choke herself. So therefore, they're not going to tie these things very tight. Therefore, what water will be able to go in? Now, what's the rule by Shabbat? If it's not an interference by mikveh, the rabbis didn't make a gezerah on Shabbat. So look how the Gemara set up this question. The Gemara first had to establish the principle. En isha honeket et atzma. A lady doesn't choke herself. Okay, good. But if a lady doesn't choke herself, so then these habakot, the bride that says she cannot go out with them on Shabbat. Why? Is it going to be a hatzitza? It shouldn't be a hatzitza. Since she doesn't choke herself, she's not going to pull these drawstrings so tightly. Water will be able to go through. Therefore, she's not going to have to untie them for the mikveh. Therefore, there's no concern that she might forget and carry them. So the Gemara is asking a question. Gemara says, Amai lo. Why should it be forbidden? So the Gemara says, Ama Ravina, we turn to Amud Bet. Hacha bekatala askinan. We're talking about a special item. It's called a katala, which literally would mean a choker. And the way they wear that choker is she does put it tightly. Why? Because she wants to look fat. Now you have to know, in the olden days, Rabotai, it was appealing to look fat. So the ladies would put this type of, actually, as she says, it was ornamental piece. It was like a certain item, like a bib, that they used to wear around their neck in order that their clothes would not get dirty. So the food, you know, gets caught over there. But it was ornamental. It was like, it was a hashuv item. And it has straps, and they put the rope across it, and they tie themselves in. But they would tie under their neck very tightly because they wanted to give the appearance of they had a double chin. Sure. Yeah, more than that, because the fat was appealing. So now, in this case over here, Isha Honeket Tatsma on this specific guy. Therefore, what's the concern? She'll take it off for the mikveh. Take it off for the mikveh. Can't go out on Shabbat. Now, Tosafot and the Rishonim over have a major question. What do you have to tell me over here? No. What do you have to create for me now? A new reason. The Mishnah already told me one of the things a lady cannot wear on Shabbat was katala. Why? Because it's jewelry. What's the gizan of jewelry? She might take it off to show it to her friends. Now you give me a new reason. She can't wear the katala because since it's an interference for the mikveh, she might take it off. Make up your mind. What's the reason why she cannot wear the katala? Is it the jewelry gezerah? Or is it the mikveh gezerah? Those are two different gezerot. So Tosfot says in his answer, it depends. Our Mishnah was talking about where they wore the katala loosely. Therefore, from a mikveh standpoint, not a problem, because the water would be able to get in. But still asur if it's loose. Why? Because she might take it off to show it to her friends, and therefore asur. We're talking over here in this case, obviously, when she put it tightly. When they put it tightly, there's no gizana that she's going to take it off. Especially, why? Because the whole reason why she put it tight, she wants to look fat. If she's going to take it off, she loses the whole appeal. Oh, so from the taking off standpoint, it's okay. So what's the gizana then? The gizana's mikveh. Because since, when she goes, she's not going to take it off to show it to her friends. But what? She will take it off if she has mikveh that night. So therefore, it's going to be as well. So therefore, both the katala, whether it's loosely placed on her or tightly placed, is both as soon. Just for different reasons, Tosfot says. If it's tight, it's asur because of the gezerah of mikveh. If it's loose, it's the gezerah of jewelry. Comes the Gemara further and says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shel semer v'shel se'ar en chotzesim v'pnei shamayim ba'im bahem. Rabbi Yehuda said that what? Shel semer, the wool straps, the strings that they put in the hair, or for that matter, strings made out of hair itself, Rabbi Yehuda said is not considered a hatzitza. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha, Rabbi Yehuda. So Shmuel said the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda that what? Tzemer and Se'ar are not a interference of mikveh. Gemara says, I cut it short. Halakha can be Yehuda bechute se'ar. The halakha falls with Yehuda regarding hair. Strings made out of hair, meaning strings of hair are not considered a chatzitza. Amale abaye, halakha. Oh, you're telling me that the halakha is like that nichlal de paliki. It's mashma that somebody argues on this. Who argues on this must be Tanakama. Now, did we see Tanakama mention anything about hair? No. Tanakama's opinion was Hote Peshtan and Hote Semir. Tanakama did not mention anything about hair. So the Gemara is asking, you're telling me Halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda by hair. What? Did somebody argue on hair? Tanakama didn't mention anything about hair. So the Gemara says, hold it. V'chi tema, maybe you'll tell me, Ilav d'shamei metanakama da'iri b'hote se'ar, iyunamelo avamayri. Which means, you think that Yehuda would have mentioned Se'ar if he didn't hear it first from the Tanakama that gave an opinion that it's forbidden? Which means that Yehuda was only reacting to the first opinion. So must be, we have to say, that Tanakama must have said Se'ar is asur. And that's why the Yehuda came along and said, hey, Se'ar is not asur. Se'ar is mutar. So from the deduction must be that Tanakama had an opinion. Otherwise, what did the Yehuda introduce here? So the Gemara says, no proof. V'dilma kishem ka'amarnehu. Maybe, really, Tanakama will agree that hair is permissible. And the Yehuda was telling Tanakama the following. Ki hechi demuditi li b'chote se'ar. Just like you agree to me when it comes to hair, odu li nami b'chote se'mer. Agree to me as well regarding chote se'mer. Which means you have no proof that the rabbis argue on se'ar. Which means the Gemara was saying like this. We thought to say, since the Yehuda mentioned Se'ar Mutar, must be Hachemim say Se'ar Asur. Because obviously, why would he say Se'ar Mutar unless he heard from Tanakama that it was Asur? The Gemara says, no. Could be, I can tell you, Tanakama really holds Se'ar is permissible. And you know why the Yehuda mentioned Se'ar then? He came along and said like this, rabbis, just like you agree to me that Se'ar is not considered an interference, agree to me that Semir also is not considered an interference. So he was using Se'ar as the, you know, the proof to get the rabbis to say, you agreed to me on this already. Go further, go all the way. Say it's mutar also by Hote Semir as well. So we have really no proof that the rabbis would argue by Se'ar. Could be Se'ar, everybody will say what? Is not considered an interference. Good? Comes again further. Itmar Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Modim Hachamim L'Rabbi Yehuda Bechote Se'ar. Now we have a clear statement. Now the Rabbis said it explicitly that the rabbis agreed with Rabbi Yehuda regarding Chote Se'ar, strings of hair. Tanya Namiachim, we have a bright that will support this. Chote Se'ar. I'm sorry. Chote Semer Chotzesin. Chote Se'ar and Chotzesin. That's Tanakama. Clearly, semer, yes, hatitza, se'ar, no, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, shel semer v'shel se'ar, en otzitzin. Amar avnach mamar Yitzhak, matniti nami daika. We have a Mishnah to actually prove what we just said. Diktani, because it says in the Mishnah, yotza isha b'chote se'ar. A lady is allowed to go out with hair wrapped up into her hair, chote se'ar, right? It's hair on hair, ben mishela, ben mishel havirta. Whether it's her own hair that she made into a tie or her friend's hair that she made. It doesn't matter whose hair it is. Now, the Gemara, that's the Mishnah. Mani. Who's the opinion of this Mishnah? Who's the author? Ili ma Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to tell me the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, afidu chote semen nameh. The Mishnah didn't have to limit it to Se'ar. If it was Rabbi Yehuda, I could say even Semer. El alav Rabbanani. Must be, it's the opinion of
Tanakama, Dishmamina Behotesado Peligishmamina.
We learn proof positive that what? There was no argument in Tanakama by Hotesear. And we continue. We said that a lady on Shabbat is not allowed to go out with a totefet. The Gemara says, my totefet. What is a totefet?
Amar Rav Yosef, humreta dekatifta.
Rashi, humreta dekatifta. Keshet, it's a certain charm. She'osim lirfuot kituf ayin ra shelot teshlot. To ward off the ayin ara, they used to wear a certain type of charm, we'll call it, and they used to tie it on their garment, and they used to wear it to get away. The reason why they would call it, the Gemara calls it a chumreta de kativda. Liktof in Hebrew means to cut. So therefore, they would call it kativda because it would cut away the ayin ara. So the Mishnah is saying what? You cannot wear this totefet. Seemingly, what's the reason? It could be it was like an ornament as well, and therefore the concern was they might take it off and show it to somebody.
Like
so comes the Gemara and says, hold it. We know it's permissible to wear a kamiya, an amulet, on Shabbat, so long as it's considered a kamiya mumheh, meaning if it was written by an expert, and it has been proven to work, let's say at least by three people, that it cured them. So such an amulet is permissible to wear on Shabbat. So why should this humreta de kitfa be different than an amulet? Which means, really, it shouldn't be a piece of jewelry. Why would the person want to take it off? They want to save the ayinara. And therefore, just like an amulet you can wear on Shabbat. Again, let me just point out for those that don't know what an amulet is. An amulet is a scroll that has on it different names of Hashem and different Kabbalistic things, let's say. I know, but we know what a kamiya is, but not everybody might be familiar with a kamiya is. So therefore, they write different names of God, different sequences in order, and they wear it. And that somehow protects a person. It can even bring a person to refuah. So just like a kamiya mumha is permissible on Shabbat, this item should also be permissible. So the Gemara says, fine. That's not what a totefet is.
Ela amar av Yehuda mishemed abaye ufzainu. What is ufzainu? That she says, frontal shel zahav,
a gold frontal. What is frontal? So the Mefarshim explained, it was like the seats of the Kohen Gadol. You remember the Kohen Gadol used to wear a headband of gold around his forehead. It went from ear to ear. So they're saying, this is what the totefet is. And that's probably why they called it totefet, because totefet sounds like totafot, which is tefillin. The seats used to be worn in the place of the tefillin. So therefore, this lady has a totefet. She cannot wear it. Now why? Because since it's a piece of jewelry, back to the jewelry gizrat. She might take it off in order to show it to her friends. Who comes again, Gemara and says, Tanya Namiachim of a Braita, to support what we just said, Yotza Isha Besabecha Hamuzhebet. A lady on Shabbat is allowed to go out with a gold sabecha. What is that? A sabecha would be a hat. It's like a item that covered her hair. Now, even though it's gold, which is ornamental, how can it be permissible? Maybe she's going to take it off to show it. Well, we learned already. A lady is not going to take off a hat to reveal her hair in the public domain. It's against the laws of tzniut. So therefore, if her hat is made out of gold, no problem. There, that's one type of jewelry that is not subject to the gezerah.
Ubetotefet ubesarbitina kibu'inba.
And furthermore, if they attach to this hat a totefet, this headband, for example, they sewed it onto the hat, and sarbitin. Sarbitin are like headbangles, right? They're like tassels, really, that are hanging down. They go down her, like they're attached to the hat, and they dangle down to, let's say, her cheek, let's say. So if it's attached to the hat, no problem. Why? Because she's not going to take the hat off. Now the Gemara says, Ezu totefet ve'ezu sarbitin. What is totefet and what is sarbitin? Amar Rav Abu, totefet hamukefet la me'ozen le'ozen. Exactly like we said, the totefet is from
ear to ear.
Sarbitin hamagi'in la ad lehaya. They dangle down until her cheeks.
Comes Gemara says, Amar Avuna, aniyot osin otan shel mine sevonim.
The poor ladies, they make these sarbitin, they make them out of fabric, colored fabric. They can't afford gold.
Ashirot osin otan shel kesef shel zahav.
But the rich ladies, they already can make it out of gold and silver. Yeah, there was different different levels. So bottom line, now we learn what the totefet is. So the only way a totefet can be worn on Shabbat, if it was attached to the hat. But if it's not attached, asur. We go further. Velo bekabul. It is forbidden on Shabbat to go out with the kabul. So comes the Gemara and says, "What is this? What is this kabul?" Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yanai, kabul ze eni yodeya mahu."
He says, "I don't know what it is."
Honestly,
meaning,
he had options. That's the point. Which means he had one of two options, and therefore he wasn't sure what exactly of those two options is the actual kabul. So again, what was his options? So the Gemara said, like, "Amar Rabbi Yanai, kabul ze eni yodeya mahu." E kabla da avda, is it the kabul that the slaves wear? Meaning, a person would have a slave, so he would give him a certain emblem that he would wear on, say, on top of his hat, and this emblem was a sign that he was indeed an Eved. So it could be that is called the kabul. It's the emblem that the slaves used to wear, like a pendant they used to wear on top of their hat. Or let's see, that she ikabla da'avdatran hotam. Hotam is an emblem, a seal. She'osim le'ayved b'chsuto. Or they would put it on his garment even. Not his hat, on his garment. L'siman u'chacha, as a sign of proof, shu'a evid. And that's what it means, that you shouldn't go out. Meaning it's a slave shouldn't go out with this kabul. Oh, what's the other? I'm sorry, let's continue. Ikabla da'avdatran abal kippah shel semer shapir dameh. But a hat, a kippah, made out of semer, made out of wool, is okay. Now, these kippah shel semers, used to wear what's called a sabacha. That was the top hat the ladies used to wear. Underneath it, they used to wear a kippah of semer in order, let's say, to keep their hair underneath. So they would cover their hair first with this, like, we would call it today, like a snood that the ladies wear, or a certain type of, you know, head covering. And then they would put the kavul, I'm sorry, they would put the sabacha, get the terminology. They would put the sabacha on top. So again, the top hat would be called a sabacha, and the bottom was called a kippah shel semer. Now, that would be permissible. Why? Because technically the lady's not taking that out, that off either to show it to somebody, because her hair could be exposed. So therefore, Rabbi Yanai's first safek was, is kabul the Eved's emblem, which is asur? However, kippah shel semer would be mutah, that's one option. Or, what's the other option? Gemara says, Odilma kippah shel semer tanan. Maybe the kabul is a kippah shel semer. And the Mishnah is saying that even the kippah shel semer is also forbidden. Why? Because I guess when she, there was a way to take it, there's no way for her to, there is a way for her to take it off. Since she has the hat on top, so therefore she can, let's say, pull it out from underneath and show it to somebody without really exposing her. Therefore, it should be asur. Again, the Mishnah said she cannot go out with a kabul. She cannot go out with a kabul. If the kabul is a kippah shel semer, why wouldn't she be able to go out with this kabul? Because I'm explaining to you. Because she will take it off. Aye, what about her hair? No problem. She has a hat on top of it. And therefore, it would be asur. And all the more so the emblem of the slave. The Gemara is going to go into the emblem of the slave later. So again, the safek is a kabul the emblem of the slave, or is it the kippah shel semer? Amar Rabbi Abu, mistabra keman damar kippah shel semer. Makes sense that it's a kippah shel semer. Why? Gemara. Vetanya namechem. We have a braita to support this. Why? Yotza isha bekabul ub istema lachatzir. A lady is allowed to go out into the private yard with a kabul,
and an istema. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, af bekabul lirshut rabbim.
Rabbi Shimon says, you know what? She can even go out with the kabul in the public domain. Now,
klal amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar.
Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar then gave a rule.
What was his rule? Kol shu lemata min asabacha, anything that's under the hat, yotzin.
You can go out on Shabbat, even into the public domain. Why? Because there's no issue. Why should there be no issue?
We'll see. Kol shu lemala min asabacha,
anything above the sabacha, above the hat,
en yotzin bo.
Which means he made a rule. Under the hat, no problem. His assumption is if it's under the hat, you're not taking it off. You're not taking it off. Anything above the hat, you'll take off. Now, what did he say to Bishlam al-Azhar? A kabul, you can wear it in the public domain. But you just gave me a rule. Anything under the hat is okay. So must be, what's a kabul? Something that's worn under the hat. What's worn under the hat? Keep on your semen. Proof positive. We just gave you the proof. That the we answered Rabbi Yanai Safik. Rabbi Yanai, I don't know what this item is. Is it a Ibbit's emblem or is it a Kippah Shel Semen? Gemara says, makes sense, it's a Kippah Shel Semen. What's proof? Because we have to be Shomer Lazar. He allowed the lady to wear the Kabul in the public. It's his Shita. It's against our Mishnah, but that's his Shita. And then he gave a rule. You know what my rule is? Anything that they wear under the Sabacha, not a problem. That means the Kabul must be worn under the sabaga, must be that the kabul is
kippah shel semen. Comes the Gemara and says, "My istema."
Right? What are the things that we said that ladies can wear in the hatser in the courtyard? You see, Tanakama allowed a lady to wear a kabul in the courtyard, and another thing they allowed the ladies to wear in the courtyard was an istema. What is an istema?
So the Gemara says, "My istema." Amar Babu Bizyone.
So the Gemara, he answered, one vague terminology with another vague terminology. So the Gemara says, "My Bizyone, what is that?"
Amar Abaye, Amar Rav Kalya Feruhe.
What is Kalya Feruhe, Rashi?
Kalya Feruhe Misnefet Ketana.
It was like a small hat or scarf, that makes more sense.
Le'achar kishuraha, shekolat rosha, v'chista, yesh se'arot ketanot shiyosin chus de kishura.
Which means after she would, let's say, put her hat on, let's say, and she would cover her hair, sometimes, let's say, there would be some little hairs that would be sticking out from underneath her hat. So they would put, like I say, a scarf across, in or like a headband, in order to cover those little hairs that were sticking out. So that's what is that?
Stray hairs.
The stray hairs, yeah, the little strays that are sticking out. So they put like a strap across. So feruha, what does feruha mean? Feruha means the little hairs that stick out. So that she says,
"V'hen nikrim feruha al shem shemafrichim v'yotzim lehoz v'ogadatan letat kishureha idim mitznefet kitzarah."
And she would take like a little mitznefet and she would cover them up. So it says, in the private domain, it would be permissible to wear that item as well. The Rif has a different understanding. The Rif understands, kalya comes from the Shona kala. Feruha is a certain type of item that they used to used to shoo away the bugs or the flies. Instead of the kala was going out in a procession, so the flies, flying around over there. So they would, wave away these items. So what was it made out of?
Colored cloth.
Oh, it was a colored cloth kind of day that she would wear, and she would, use it to sway away. So that's only permissible in the private domain, but it's not permissible in the public domain. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. Amen.